Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Welcome to the program, everyone. My name is Shoddy, and along beside me is Slim. Not Shady, not Jesus, just Slim. And welcome to our premiere show, recorded from good old Seattle, in Earful in the Emerald City. Today, we'll be talking about the Democratic debate, how 405 traffic pisses everyone off, misconceptions of the Pacific Northwest, where alcohol is being consumed the most in Washington, and are there use of service dogs out of control here? But first, since this is our premiere show, a little bit about me. My name is Shoddy. I'm 27. I moved to Seattle back in March from Kyle, Texas to be closer to my girlfriend who I love dearly. And on my free time, I love to drink, party, and dance. But you will not catch me whipping and neighing. And if you catch me doing that, I probably had too many shots of tequila. And I'm a proud graduate of Angelo State University in San Angelo, Texas. And a proud supporter of Texas Tech football. Wreck'em Tech.
Yeah, wreck'em indeed. This is Slim over here. I'm Iceberg Slim, to be exact. That's what my fellow compadres call me. And I've actually lived over here in the Northwest for pretty much my entire life here. It's home. I love it. It's nice. It's a gloomy, overcast day today. A light little sprinkle. It's like the new thing around here. It's this light rain, you know? It's like it almost pisses you off more than if it just was raining buckets. It's like, make up your goddamn mind, all right? It's like, at least when it's pissing rain, you know what to do. You know, you're walking out of Chipotle, you're there stretching before you got to do anything. You're like, all right, you're acting like your landing craft's about to hit the beach at Normandy. You know, you're making a beeline for the car. This shit, you don't know what to do. Do I wear a long sleeve, no hat? Do I wear a coat? What the hell? But no, it's home, and I love it here. It's a great city.
The complete opposite of Texas when it comes to weather, let me tell you. Shit.
Well, you don't know what to expect down there.
All right, so let's get started. Last week, the Democratic debate.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was better than those clowns about a month ago in the Republican debate. The stars of the night were obviously the two front runners. Hillary Clinton.
The only people anybody knows.
Well, Hillary Clinton and the underdog, Bernie Sanders, and Slim, did you get a chance to watch that?
Oh man, I tell you, it was just watching the other three guys. I would name them, but it's already been, you know, a few hours since I've seen it, so I've completely erased it from my memory. But just watching them trying to get credit and watching Hillary trying to not act like a robot. It was it was pretty entertaining, you know. I mean, you got Donald Trump on the other side, so it's tough to really argue with that one. But Bernie, these guys, they were doing it though.
You gotta give Hillary her credit. I mean, she's been, you know, it's been her against the world with the emails, you know, and you know she's been under the radar a lot, man.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're a top dog like that and been in the White House for a few decades now and been on the scene, you know, people are going to be gunning for you. You know, that's just how it goes. And you know, the whole Benghazi thing, I'm surprised the Republicans have let this one go. You know, emails are more scandalous and provocative than a jihadist attack on an embassy at this point. You know, I don't know when that switch happened, but at some point, I guess.
The Republicans are a bunch. They're bullshit. When it comes to Benghazi, how are they going to blame Obama and Hillary for Benghazi, and they don't blame George W. for 9/11? Explain that to me.
Well, I would like to have any of the Republicans tell me where Benghazi is on a map. You know, I would be challenged to see if these guys even knew where it was at. I mean, I have a vague idea, but you know, I haven't really get to Southern California that much, so I'm not exactly sure. But but no, it was you know, she's the front runner, Everybody's gunning for her. Okay, she's clearly ahead. Bernie, he's making a good push here, but when you're on top like that, everybody's taking shots at you, and that's politics these days. Everybody's just trying to cut each other down. You know, I feel like people have just thought the situation is spiraled so far out of control that actually talking about what you're going to do to fix things doesn't work anymore. You just got to cut everybody else down. So, yeah, we're basically, we've descended to the Roman Empire here, and it's one assassination attempt on character after another.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm a Bernie Sanders guy. I like him a lot. I think the one thing people question him about is his, does he really know economics? Because, you know, he wants, you know, he thinks that we should be a lot like Denmark. Free college, free healthcare, free et cetera. And the right side's like, nothing in this world is free. But, you know, and that's one thing I question him about. You know, I love Sanders, you know, and I love that he's for the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, but, you know, something I question him about is, you know, his economics, you know, his plan on economics, you know, that is very, it's very important.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I don't think he's got it all figured out at this point. I definitely don't. But I think that he might be old and crazy enough.
Whoa.
I know this is groundbreaking stuff here.
No one's heard this before. Don't diss my man Bernie like that, man.
Like I said, I think he can do it. As long as we have some kind of backup plan for when Alzheimer's hits the White House,
I'm fine with it.
Get this guy in here. An assassination attempt. He's probably not even as scared of an assassination attempt at this point.
Slim, I mean,
he's getting up there.
Slim, easy on him.
I like him. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm leaning more towards him than Hillary. I just feel like everything that Hillary says and everything that comes out of her mouth has been written down on a script and gone over and fact-checked and double-checked and spell-checked and fucking up-checked and everything by 18 people, 18 staffers in the back room. You know, it's so ungeneric and it's so mechanical and it's, I don't know. Let's get some fresh blood in there, all right? Let's get some fresh blood. Get the Bushes, get the Clintons, get this oligarchy that we have going out of here.
Man, I think the highlight of the night for the Democratic debate was when Bernie Sanders said, everyone is sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails. You know, it's showing that, you know...
Is that because he doesn't know how to access his own email?
Oh, my God, Slim! Wow.
I mean, this is what you have interns for.
Oh my gosh. You're horrible.
Listen, he's got some good ideas, you know. Maybe the funding isn't quite there or doesn't quite add up, but does the funding ever really add up with these guys? I mean, you know, that's the one thing that you can try to make a solid case for.
No, funding doesn't add up with the Bushes.
Well, you know, you can't count that war stuff. I mean,
that war was fucking pointless.
On the side.
That war was fucking pointless, man.
Are we going down this rabbit hole?
I lived in Texas during that time, and you know what? George W., he was like fucking God down there. Like, seriously, and it pissed me off. And you know what's funny? Like, I understand that Texas is such a right state, man. But, man, like, when I remember when we hit rock bottom back in 08, and I remember all these people trying to defend Bush. I'm like, this happened under his fucking watch. Like, seriously.
No, it was Clinton. It was Clinton's fault. He was busy getting his dick sucked and not paying attention.
Whoa.
It was Clinton's fault.
Whoa.
Goddamn liberal hippies.
Well, I am a proud liberal and I am proud and nothing's wrong with that, okay? Yeah, I'd rather be a liberal than a narrow-minded asshole. Like,
is that the two choices we get?
Anything else stood out to you in the debate?
Let's see. Besides,
what's your stance on gun control, Slim?
We are getting in. We're getting in here thick, people. This is the first episode, all right? If you hold on tight, if you're in your car, strap on your seatbelt. We're going there. But, you know, me on gun control, I just feel like we've proven that as much as I think it should be people's right to have a gun and, you know, do what they want and be responsible gun owners, I feel like we as a society have proven that we can't be trusted. We're like grade schoolers who, with a bag full of M80s, you know, around the 4th of July. We clearly cannot be trusted with this power that we have, you know? And people want to say, oh, you're going to fucking take my gun from my cold, dead hand. Yeah, okay, well, you know, here's the thing. I understand you want your guns. You want to be able to fight the power, you know, for corrupt government. But, you know, when they're spending $1 trillion on aircraft programs, your little 9mm bringing that to the fight isn't really going to do shit here, you know? So if we want to avoid these mass shootings, these fucking weirdos going into a movie theater, which, I mean, you know, maybe some people talk and you get a little upset in the movie theater, but Jesus Christ, is that the place you need to have a massacre at? You know, why don't you go somewhere, you do some damage, maybe City Hall, maybe, you know, deal with some of those guys. But I just think that we've proven as a society that we have to walk as slow as the slowest person in our society. And unfortunately, that's like it's like a crawl. It's like the 3-year-old. You know, you see the mom and she's taking her new kid and she's, you know, they're working on their walk in there and they're walking about 2 miles an hour. But you know, that's what we got to do. Unfortunately, I mean, a handful of people can ruin it for everybody, and this is a perfect example, in my opinion.
Or you can shoot your best friend in the face like Dick Cheney. No, but seriously, on gun control, I honestly think. Liberals are not trying to take your guns away. We just think that there should be tighter gun laws, and I honestly think there should be a background check on when you buy a gun or something. You know, guns should not be easy to access, like, plain and simple. So.
They are. I'm pretty sure I heard a stat, though, that there's more guns in this country than there are people.
Ridiculous.
I just watched Belly last night, where a 12-year-old kid in the projects is slanging rocks and packing heat. So it's unfortunately a little bit too easy.
Yeah. On to our next subject is something that. Exclusively for our fellow Seattleites, 405 traffic, the new toll rolls.
Bum, bum, bum.
Exactly, the new toll rolls for 405 traffic. And let me tell you something. I've been I have to use 405 sometimes, not as much as I do because I don't live in Woodinville anymore. But man, that is, whose fucking idea was that? Whose fucking idea was that? Seriously. You know, whose idea was that, man? Because, geez, I mean, because when I'm using 505, I only see like one or two cars, and you know, when they're driving down, I'm giving them the fucking finger. Fuck you, you know, because you know
that's
the toll
fair, people.
Yeah, it ranges from 75 cents to $10, and I'm pretty sure it's $10 during rush hour, which is a bitch. No one wants to fucking pay $10 to get home or get to wherever you need to get to quickly. I mean, I mean, I don't, and I don't know anyone that does. I mean, I'm middle class, so I mean, not like I'm part of the top fucking 1%. But you know, it's a pain because 405 is probably the busiest part of the highway here in the greater Seattle area, and getting rid of those two lanes for toll rolls, you know, it was already bad enough before it, and now, you know, you're backing it up, you know, between 4 to 7 o'clock, you know, if you're coming from Woodinville, you're trying to get to Seattle, it's going to be a good 45 minutes. Now it's going to be a good hour and 10 minutes. It's is bullshit. And, you know, I know I'm not the only one frustrated with it, but, you know, in my opinion, it's crap. And I understand how some people could benefit from it. If you're really in a rush, you know, damn, you know, maybe this 75 cents to 10 bucks is worth it. But, you know, it's frustrating. I rather wait for an hour instead of pay 10 bucks and give everyone the finger or say fuck you to everyone who's using it.
God, you know, Shadi, I was in such a good mood when I showed up here. I was in such a good mood. And we've just got on a topic now that has completely turned my mood for the worse. I clearly should have read the script better. This new setup they got is, I don't even think a travesty is even close to describing how fucked up this situation is. I mean, if our government has taught us anything, it's that anytime there's a big problem, just throw a bunch of money at it and it'll go away. The money, that is. The problem will be as big as it's ever been, and it'll be about $100 million over budget off the jump. I mean, it's insane. It's insane. What is this money going to? How have we justified spending this money? How is this making things better for anybody besides the people who, you know, don't give a shit about spending 10 more dollars every time that they're driving down to fucking McDonald's to pick up their kids' dinner because they don't want to actually sit down and cook a home-cooked meal with them.
I mean, God damn, man. Shit.
Hey, the Department of Transportation in this state should be tarred and feathered, should be rotten tomatoed. I mean, you know, pull out all the stops as far as humiliating these guys are, because they're not serving the public interest here. They're not doing anybody any good. And it's like you drive in the lane now, and they got these scanners, which, how much do those fucking things cost? You know, I didn't need the scanners. You didn't need the scanners. I don't think they did. How much do these things cost? And it's like, what kind of creepy shit is that? It's like some Big Brother shit. I'm pretty sure this new system that they've made was developed by Skynet.
Oh my god!
2016, the machines came aware.
Oh,
you know?
My god!
They started tolling. They took a bigger portion of the GDP of this local area, and you know, it's over. They're off to the races,
ladies and gentlemen. I want to please excuse my co-host. Apparently he's a conspiracy theorist. Jesus.
Hey, the reception on my tinfoil hat's coming in pretty good right now, all right? I don't know what you're talking about.
And I'm just thinking, man, what... honestly, you know, what the fuck is wrong with McDonald's for dinner?
Oh, God.
No, seriously. Seriously.
I'm about to walk out of here.
No, what the fuck is wrong with McDonald's?
I can't do this anymore. Well,
nothing's wrong with a fucking Big Mac for dinner.
You know, I'll tell
number
you...
Number one... Or I can get breakfast at any time of the day now.
Oh man, there you go. Now we're talking. You know, listen. I'll tell you one good thing that has come out of this new 405 toll, in my opinion.
What's that?
One good thing that has come from this. It's really making me reconsider having children.
No.
I mean, it would knock at least 20 minutes off my commute every day, probably.
You as a dad, that's what I'm thinking about. Oh, my gosh.
You know, hey.
Another one of you?
It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make,
For
a shorter commute. You know, honey, no, we got to have two. One's not going to be enough. It's three plus in the carpool, baby. Come on, let's get in there. Let's do this.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, it's a fucking travesty. It's gonna turn out bad. Oh, then the best part too is they say, well, you know, you know, give it 6 months. Give it 6 months. People will learn the system, and you know, things will get better. Learn the system. You drive your car in the lane all the way to the left. What the fuck do people need to learn from this system? I think what they mean by it's gonna take 6 months is that people are gonna be supremely pissed off by the end of the 6 months. That they'll finally reach a breaking point and say, fuck it. I mean, you can only punch your steering wheel that many times in a day's time, and then eventually you're just going to give in.
Yeah, I agree. It's like a premature pregnancy. I mean, you know, you want to give them 9 months, but, you know, after 6 months, they're going to be like, fuck it! Fuck it!
Yeah, it's... We'll see. You know, I'm I'm not very encouraged by this. I mean, you can't go out any time of the day without running into traffic. 12:30 on a Saturday, and things are going to be bumper to bumper. It's like, what the fuck is going on? What have you guys done for us? This is absurd. This is not making anybody's life better besides the oligarchy that's forming over here on the east side, you know, and it's going to end in a disaster. I mean, you know, whether it's going to be worse than the tunnel project downtown, that's a toss up, you know, that's a toss up. That's a dead heat to the bottom there. But it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly, in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, I get it. It benefits some people who are in a rush, especially for the people who want that McDonald's for dinner.
Yeah, because there's the government sending the message. Yeah, hey, you guys in a rush? No, don't worry. You can pay that off. Don't worry about it. You know, it just, you know, grease our palm a little bit, and you know your tardiness won't even be an issue. That's the kind of message our government should be sending. Yeah, there you go.
Government.
Yeah, it's a bitch. It's a bitch.
The people should be the government, in my opinion.
Oh no, we are. We are. We elect these.
Fuck. You know? Oh man. Well, yeah. Not everyone votes, unfortunately, and not everyone understands how important it is to vote.
When you're choosing between a huge douche and a turd sandwich, it's a little depressing. Some people just decide to not even partake.
You wonder where this money's going to. Where do you think this money's going to from the tolls, from the toll roll?
My guess is hookers.
Oh, man, come hookers on.
Hookers and blow.
Oh.
Hookers and blow.
No. Hookers and blow?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
It all comes down to who's doing the hookers and who's enjoying the yayo.
Oh my gosh!
Let's get off this one. I'm gonna have an aneurysm here if we don't.
Well, it's a good thing that the Seahawks did not pick up Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Because, I guess I said it because Seattle is number two in the nation for the most dog friendly city. Yeah, I said it. It's a good thing the Seahawks did not pick up Michael Vick. However, we're going to talk about. What?
Actually, no, he's out right now. It was the other guy from the Steelers who made it happen for them.
Roethlisberger?
No, he's out too. They went third string, and they still
Landry Jones.
They beat the Bryant Jones or something. They beat the Cardinals.
It was Landry Jones. Don't fucking talk to me about that game because in fantasy I benched Martavis Bryant who went off, and I missed out on 25 good points in fantasy, and I am pissed off about 25
that. 25 points in fantasy. That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. That's more of a nightmare than anything.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about how, you know, I've lived here for 7.5 months now, and I understand the use of service dogs, but, you know, I feel like people can go overboard on it sometimes. I mean, do you agree, Slim?
Well, you know, when we're getting into the service cat area now, you know, the service, people got their service snakes, their service gerbils.
Service snakes.
Yeah, no, it's
definitely. I don't want to see anyone service snakes.
Oh, my. Well, can you service a snake? Is it possible?
I think those are called gigolos.
Oh, Jesus. The snake charming gigolos. Oh, man, that sounds risky.
Hey, baby.
But, what are you doing? No, this service dog thing though it's out of control, people. I mean, I love dogs as much as the next guy, but at some point we need to realize that these are animals. They're not people, and they don't need to be in Whole Foods with us to help us pick what kind of organic kale is going to be best for the salad we're making later. Okay, it's getting out of control. I was at Ross a couple weeks ago. Buying a pair of new jeans, and I walk in there and I'm looking around, and I'm not kidding you. I saw so many service dogs. I thought I was at Petco for a minute. You know, I really thought I was at Petco. You got these people pushing their dogs around in their carts like they're their children. It's crazy. One guy, this guy took the cake. He went above and beyond. He comes in. He's got his dog with him. Not only does he have his dog with him, but he's got this metal stick with him too. And he's walking around all slow, and he's banging his stick into everything, making all this noise. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, hey, okay, buddy, listen, you got your dog in here, okay? You pulled it off. You won. All right. You don't have to take it to the extreme here. You know. I mean, he's indoors. He's wearing the big wraparound sunglasses too. So I'm guessing he was a hipster. I don't know. But it's just over the top. I had to get out of there. I found a pair of $8 jeans. Luckily, that was right in my price range, and I had to get out of there. But people are taking it to the next level, and you know, these aren't children, people. They're fucking animals. They're animals that can sleep outside. They're animals that eat food that looks like a pile of shit a lot of times. I mean, it literally, some of the wet food looks like a pretty nasty BM I've had after a long weekend at times. I mean,
oh my gosh,
they're animals, people, okay? They don't need to go everywhere with you. They're not going to have anxiety. You can leave them in the car for 20 fucking minutes. We're not in Southern...
Whoa, time out. No, well, I don't agree with you with leaving them in the car. Whoa. Well, okay, maybe, you know, in the fall, winter, when it's...
I'm not talking about in Death Valley, you know, I'm talking about...
Okay.
When you go down to PCC, you know, to grab a few things. I mean, we're in the Northwest here, it's pretty mild climate besides summertime. Crack a fucking window, okay? And your little puppy might be panting a little bit when he gets back, but it's not like he's venturing out into the desert with Moses and the rest of the Israelites.
Wow, man.
I'm getting on my soapbox.
Wow, man. You must have a autograph from Michael Vick, or God, think you and Vick would be best friends. Jeez, man.
You know, I'm not saying all those dogs deserved it, but at least a few of them probably.
You need to go have a beer or something, or smoke a joint.
I don't know which
one. God, you need to calm the fuck down. Speaking of beers, top 10 drunkest cities in Washington.
Oh, boy, now we're getting into the good stuff.
Yes. Let's count down. I'm not familiar with... Now, with three of these cities, I'm familiar with... You know, excuse me again. I've only been here for 7.5 months. We're going to count down from number 10 to number 1. Number 10, Olympia. Slim, you know, you've lived here for a while.
Lived here for a while. I think I've yet to meet a person from Olympia, though. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I think I've yet to meet a person from Olympia. I don't know what it is. I'm sure they exist. I've driven through and I've seen what looked like people there, but I've never actually met one. I don't know. Maybe they just don't get out of town. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Holy shit. Wow. Number 9, Snohomish.
Oh, okay. All right. Now here's a quaint little town that I can tell you a little thing about. I actually spent a stint out there of about a year. I'm talking about it like it's prison. It felt like it at times, but it wasn't quite. It's a nice little city, though. A little country town, you know, and this one kind of makes sense to me. I mean, you know, you're out working on the field, you know, doing all that kind of shit, and it's a small town. I don't even know if they actually have a movie theater in town. They might not even have a movie
theater. You know, I had to drive through there one time to... for a job thing, and you know, I didn't notice a movie theater. That's weird. That is really weird.
Yeah, no Cineplex Odeon, no nothing like that. But a nice little town, though. That's you know, since I'm hoping no police officers from Snohomish are listening. That was the city that I got away with my first DUI.
Whoa! Yeah, hey, man.
We're coming full circle here. Actually, it took 5-6 years, but the whole thing's coming full circle. Actually.
Jeez, man. You got your first DUI in Snohomish?
I should have. That officer clearly made a bad judgment that night.
Fuck. Remind me not to go drink with you in Snohomish. Oh, you'll get off and I go to jail.
And then they'll
get arrested for being black on a Friday night.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, they don't take kindly to your type out there.
God.
You might want to avoid it for a little while. Give it a couple more years.
They're
gentrifying slowly.
Number 8, Port Orchard.
Port Orchard. Oh, man. This is a city... You hear a lot about it. Unfortunately, you never listen. That's the problem. You know, people talk about it. They say this and that. You know, they visit there every once in a while. But nobody ever has anything to say. And no, and maybe that plays into why they're on this list here. I mean, I don't know. I've been there. I haven't been there in a long, long time. And to be honest, I can't remember much. I just know that it's across the water, and I don't know if there actually is an orchard. I just want to say that's pretty misleading if there isn't, but I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
Number seven, Sumner.
Oh, good old Sumner. What can you say about Sumner that hasn't been?
Where is Sumner located again?
For a guy who's lived here his entire life, clearly I haven't got out enough. I want to say
obviously down, not. Jesus,
I
want to
say
man.
It's down south, east of Olympia. You know, but again, I've never met anybody from Olympia. I don't know if there is people from Sumner. I mean, there probably is a couple of convenience stores, a gas station, things of that nature. But I think if you're into things that are actually exciting, I'm going to say Sumner's not the place for you. But if you like to drink, hey, who knows? I'm sure they got a couple of good bars.
Number six, Gig Harbor.
Gig Harbor. Oh, that's again. That's another one of the spots you got to kind of go across the water. Don't get out there too much. But this one, though, I have heard a lot of good things. Actually, people say it's a pretty nice town. You know, definitely quiet, not too loud, not too rowdy, not too crazy. These are probably a little bit more older, a little bit more sophisticated drinkers, possibly. Who knows? But definitely a good little town, though.
All right, before we get to number five, I just want to let everyone know the way this list was brought together. They use the number of bars and pubs per capita in every town, the number of wineries per capita, the number of liquor stores per capita, and each city's drunk related tweets within the last week, and the most interesting one. Each city's divorce rate, and when we get to number one, I will believe, I believe why number one is number one, because I've done a lot of drinking there. But hey, I do have a girlfriend, and I am faithful, and number five.
One of the things that was left off that list that they forgot to mention, but is definitely a factor. How many times an episode of Cops has been shot in that city?
Oh my gosh.
That's kind of one of those undercover things, but they threw that in.
Well, actually, I'm not going to say it. number five, you may need to help me here. Pulsebo?
Oh, good old Pulsebo. This is a nice, quaint little town, again, across the ferry. You know, I'm kind of picking up on a theme here. I don't know what you guys do over there on the peninsula, but it sounds like before you do it, you like to kick a few back. But Paulsville's a nice little city, though. My sister-in-law, her parents actually come from there. They're really nice people. Again, a little quaint town, nice, small little place. They got a few things to do. There's a casino or two over there. You know, some nice beaches if you want to go walk around and reminisce about the good old times. It's a good spot. They have a couple little bars right up there off the water. So I could see that. It's one of those places where if you're going to go out there, you definitely got to throw one or two back at least, you know, just to make it worth it. So,
number four, Tacoma.
Oh, my gosh. The South End. The dirty South.
The dirty tea.
You know, again, I hate to say it, guys, but I don't get out there as much as I should, you know, unless it's for a shady rap concert at the Tacoma Dome. I don't make it out there too much, but I know there's a lot of you out there. You guys like to party, you know, you guys are working hard down there. They got the big port down there. They got a lot of other stuff going on. They got traffic, so you know people are doing something down there. But that one definitely makes sense to me. You guys seem like, you know, you do your thing, but you know how to kick back and have some fun when the time comes.
Number three, Port Townsend.
What the hell's up with all these ports? Is it just a bunch of drunken sailors here? Who made this list? Jesus Christ! All these port cities. I need to get more
water equals here. Alcohol. Come on, you know this.
I guess so. When you're stuck.
Come on,
Jesus.
When you're on a beach, man, what else is there to do besides check out women, drink?
Well, I don't know,
party.
Well, that's true.
Where's the keg at?
Oh my
jeez,
God.
Man.
I guess
so. That's all I do. So
I guess so. These sailors and these longshoremen. Yeah, they must like doing the drink. I don't got much for Port Townsend, but again, this is obviously a theme here. You know, if this was on Twitter, this would definitely be trending.
Number two. Good old Seattle, Emerald City.
Okay. Now we're in my wheelhouse here. Now we're in my wheelhouse.
Me too, because I live about 10 minutes away from Seattle. So, a lot of pubs, you know, and pretty cool nightlife, and probably one of the best cities to have, you know, to have happy hour in. So, I don't know about the divorce rate. Well, Seattle seems like a single city. I don't meet a lot of people in. I work in Seattle. I don't meet a lot of people in Seattle that are married. And you know, I don't. It's none of my business to ask them. So, have you been married or have you been divorced? But you know, the majority of the people I've met in Seattle are single. So, before we get to number one, do you have an honorable mention for the list? Maybe like Leavenworth, because you know they're the home of
Leavenworth. Yeah, that's you know, probably not the most per capita, but as far as on the drinking rankings go, they're definitely up there. I mean, they host the number one beer fest around here, you know, and everybody's trying to duplicate it, but nobody can exactly replicate it. And yeah, they're definitely an honorable mention here. But I want to go back to Seattle for one second, and I want to ask you a question, Shoddy.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think that they took into account when factoring this, do you think they took into account the homeless population?
Oh!
Because if they did, Seattle should be number one by
a mile.
I don't know how many booze breaths I run into every time I'm down there who are just looking, you know, for a little something. They need a little something.
They don't want food. They want bottles of Jack.
The contact high just from them breathing in my face. Oh, my Lord. I mean, again, if they must not have factored that in. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't even have been a contest.
I saw this sign one time, and you know, from a homeless guy, and he said, "Need money," but before money, it looked like it said beer, but he crossed it out. I think he really wanted beer, but.
Well, you can't write on cardboard with pencil, so you know any editing you got to do, you probably had a little lapse of judgment. I mean, it happens to all of us from time to time.
Man, okay, number one, I want number one because
did we get number two?
Yes, number two was Seattle.
Oh, that was number two.
Yeah, and the honorable mention was Leavenworth. Number one, when they
which you've all been waiting for.
When they said number of wineries per capita and number of bars and pubs per capita, when I saw what number one was, I totally agree with it. It is good old, it's north of Seattle, good old Woodinville, Washington. Let me tell you about Woodinville, the home of single white women. Everywhere there. I think that they're single. I mean, anyway,
they probably act like it.
Well, yeah, no comment. but anyway, no. I mean, they have a great place to wine hop, you know, bar hop, winery hop. They have wineries there. They're only open from like noon to five, and that's when the housewives get out of the house while the husbands are, you know, working, and then they spend all their money on wine. And one of my favorite bars there, it's probably the ultimate neighborhood pub. Damn, I'll tip my tongue. What's the name of that place?
Rooney's?
No. Dang it. I check in there all the time on Facebook. I can't think of it right now.
Just shows you how much attention you're really paying to Facebook.
No, it shows you how much I've had to drink this morning.
I smelled a little something. You fucking holding out on me, Shoddy? What the hell, man? We're going to get it going here in a second. Jesus.
Shit.
But now.
No, but anyway, Woodinville is probably it's a fun place to drink, and it's a fun place to meet people. So if you haven't gone out there yet, especially for their wineries, I suggest you get out there because it's a fun place to drink, and a fun place to meet people and have a good time. Oh man!
You know, when I saw this was number one, it made me think of an old Bill Burr sketch he had from a couple of specials of his ago. And, you know, you're talking about the moms, the getting off at the time. See, he had a bit. It was how hard being a parent is, you know, being a mother. And he was talking about how you could send the kid to bed at 10 o'clock in the morning so you can have a glass of wine and watch The Price is Right, you know, send them to their room on some trumped up charges. I mean, it makes perfect sense, you know. I mean, I'm sure these women, they got it made. They're doing fine. Their husbands are good, you know. They're taking care of the house. I mean, they probably got tons of free time to kick back here and have a little drink here and there, you know. It takes the edge off. I mean, you listen to a bunch of screaming brats all day. I mean, that would probably drive me to have a couple glasses of wine too. So this actually makes sense. But they got it going good out there though. They do have the wineries, and they have good old tried and true, trusty Red Hook Brewery. Good spot. They got the summer movie. If you guys haven't got out there for that, get out there. Especially if you're trying to get in some girl's pants, you know, and you want to make a nice little date of it. That's definitely a good spot. They got the tour. You know, they got the trail, the Bert Gilman that goes through there. I mean, it makes sense. There's definitely some things that are adding up here.
Yeah, when you're in Woodinville, check out the Dirty Bucket. It's a brewery out of a garage, and they brew their own beer. What's so fucking funny?
The Dirty Bucket in the garage. Everybody knows what the Dirty Bucket. Everybody has that Dirty Bucket in their garage.
You're fucking gross, man. You're fucking gross.
I'm gonna check it out though. You've intrigued me. You have definitely intrigued me.
You're gross. And no, you're not gonna be walking out there pissing fire or scratching your balls or anything. It's not like what Slim over here is.
It's not that dirty.
No, it's not that dirty. Okay. It's not that dirty.
Excuse me. I had a mental picture, and jeez, you know, I went a little too far there. Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Speaking of misconceptions, everyone, you know, the Pacific Northwest has, they have these stereotypes on how they're passive aggressive, how they're not friendly, how it's not as easy to make friends here. I've been here for 7.5 months, and coming from Texas, which has a big reputation for being in quotations friendly. I did quote that. I do think that people up here are, they're more accepting. You know, they don't give a shit. You know what religion you are, what color you are, how you talk,
how many piercings you have in your face.
Yeah. How many people you've had sex with? No, I'm kidding. But
three. That's the number.
Okay. You know, they really don't. They don't give a shit. And
you know, we're kind of in a weird situation out here in the PNW. For those of you who are grade schoolers, that's the Pacific Northwest. We're in a weird spot out here. We're kind of isolated. You know, we got Portland down below, a couple hour drive away. But besides that, there's really nothing out here. There's the mountains, there's trees, there's all that stuff. And so I think that we're kind of isolated from the rest of the country. And I think that contributes to there being a lot of misconceptions about what goes on around here, about how we act, about what we do, and all those things. I think we're kind of isolated, and that's how people get such misinformation about what goes on here.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, people think that we're just a bunch of assholes because, you know, we're alienated from the rest of the country because, you know, okay, we're in
liberal
the...
liberal tree huggers.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not... I mean, there are, you know, hippies here, but, you know, they're not... It's not out of control as the media or as television portraits it to be. And, you know, people here are cool, man. I started a new job yesterday and everyone came up to me and, you know, and greeted themselves to me and like, hey, nice to meet you. Welcome to the team. And, you know, and I'm like, damn, you know, that's, you know, that's cool, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, people here are cool. They're cool as fuck.
Yeah. No, it is. And there's so many of them too. I mean, one that that really gets under my skin and kind of gets me going is the weather. Everybody wants to say, oh, the weather. Oh, doesn't anybody who's not from here, all they ever want to say, oh, doesn't it just rain out there?
Doesn't it just rain
all the time?
When I first moved here, I tell everyone how Seattle's such a great city. And I say, man, if you want to get out of where you're at, you should really consider moving here. And the one thing that the number one question or the first question, well, doesn't it rain there a lot? I'm like, no, it honestly really... Explain our summer. Holy shit.
88 last summer, 88 straight days without rain. 88 in a row.
And I'm used to Texas where it's dry heat, where compared to up here where it's humid. So 80 degrees here felt like 105 in Texas. You know, and it's funny because when I would go into work and when I would tell people, man, it's fucking hot outside, and they're like, aren't you from Texas? I'm like, well, 82 here feels like 102 in Texas. And
yeah, well, and the nice thing about here as opposed to Texas too is you don't have bugs flying around that are the size of goddamn drones. Holy shit, there's some fucking wild shit down there. I've only been a couple times, but that weather has got to be some of the most intense in the country,
man. Washington's got big-ass spiders. Fuck that.
Okay. All right. I can't argue with them that.
Washington's got big-ass fucking spiders, man. No, one time before work, man, I woke up and I looked to the side and on all my bed was a huge spider. And I said, holy shit. But
Don't talk about your girlfriend like that, man.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
She's a very nice
whoa, girl, okay? Whoa.
She's a very
whoa,
nice person.
Whoa, whoa.
Those brown recluses around here, they'll get you, though, man. Those puppies are nasty, and they're big, and they're hairy, and they're aggressive. But, so another one, too, that really, really gets me is this misconception that we're all... coffee sipping, Starbucks hanging out at motherfuckers, and unfortunately, I can't dispute this one.
I can't either. I don't know
what it is. The lines that people will wait at a Starbucks is it blows my mind. It blows my mind. These people that will sit there for 10, 15, 20 minutes waiting for their coffee. It's insane to me. It's honestly. It's so bad, it makes me feel like it's an episode of The Walking Dead. You know, there's like these zombies, and instead of search for brains, they're searching for coffee beans, you know? I like to refer to them as the walking decaffeinated. You know, it's insane to me. You have these people who, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're waiting in line to get their coffee. I mean, if you have to have your coffee at 3 o'clock, you're an addict. Okay, let's face it, people. You are an addict. You have a problem. You have an addiction. You need to get help. You need to not be getting more Starbucks gift cards. Okay, and one last thing while I'm talking about Starbucks, a Frappuccino you might like to think that's coffee. That's a fucking milkshake, okay? You're drinking a milkshake, so at least be honest about the situation and don't try to sell it to me. Like, oh, I need my fix. I need to get that caffeine. No, you want a fucking milkshake, okay? Because that's all that is.
We do have something up here called Starbucks Anonymous, and they have meetings downstairs.
Oh my god!
They do have meetings Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock downtown. There are flyers hanging up all around if you want more information. But we do have something called Starbucks Anonymous for people just like that who get their fucking coffee at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which makes no goddamn sense.
It's a very serious disease. All right, this is nothing to joke about, Shoddy. All right, this is serious stuff. But no, there's. You know, people got all, and again, it just comes back to us being up here and isolated, and, you know, you guys are listening to grunge music, you know, and just because it started here, okay. That,
what the fuck is grunge music?
It's the kind of music you listen to when you're young, and you're really starting to realize how much you don't like your parents. You know, and I'm not knocking it. Okay, Nirvana, they have some great songs. I love the group. You know, everybody loves a good flannel. Men with long hair, not my favorite thing, but you know, you got to do it sometimes. But no, they just have these conceptions from so long ago that are just so tired. And you know, you got to get up here and you got to meet the people. You got to see them on the street and see how cool they are. See how down to earth they are, and you really start to understand the city better. And you know, and hey, you know, go get a mocha while you're here. You know, the line at Starbucks should only be about 45-50 minutes, so check it out.
Yeah, mix that with some vodka too. I'm telling you, that shit will wake you up.
Ooh, okay, God, what's all this drinking talk, man? We're gonna have to hit the bar here after this. My mouth is salivating as we speak.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Let me ask you, Shoddy. So you're from Texas. That's a different scene. That was a lot. You know, that's a pretty drastic change. I mean, climate, people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, political views, everything. I mean, what was that like for you, man?
Man, you want me to be honest?
Not anymore. No.
It was. I'm going to be honest. When I moved to Washington, it was a breath of fresh air. I mean, Texas has its it has its upsides. I mean, if you're an outdoors person, you'll love it. If you're an outdoors person. If you don't like trees, if you like dust, if you love country music, because let me tell you,
like country music, no way.
Well,
no way.
No, I mean, they like mainstream country. They don't like mainstream country now. They like that old school boot scooting Texas country. That's a stereotype right there. Okay, they don't
cross the line there. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you crossed the line earlier, but we'll get to that later. But when I first moved to Seattle, it was the first time I heard a good thing about our president. because let me tell you, down in Texas, Obama's like the fucking Antichrist. Like they blame him. They blame everything on him, and I'm just, you know, it's not fair to me because I don't consider myself a Republican or a conservative. I'm not narrow-minded. I'm not. I'm open to anything, and I don't judge people, you know, because no one's perfect. And I'm just sitting over here. I'm just sitting over here. I'm like, why? What, like, is he really ruining his country? I mean, I'm doing fine. I mean, I got a job. I graduated college. You know, I'm struggling. You know, from every now and then. But you know, I'm fine. And you know, I remember back in 2008. I was watching the election on CNN at the Student Center, and down the hallway, the Republican Club was having a election night party. And when CNN announced that, Obama pretty much won, all you can hear from that party was, fuck, we're screwed, shit, god damn it. And I'm just like,
the end is coming.
Yeah, and I'm just like, seriously? Like, how old are we? And 7 years later, I'm fine. You know, and you know, they you know, Congress, they pretty much reject everything that he proposes, and they want to ignore that. And I'm just like, damn, like how can they hate our president so much, man? And then I come up here and I finally see, you know, the greener pastures of Barack Obama, and I'm like, really, he's done this? Well, fuck, I ain't hearing none of that in Texas. Shit. You know, they did not give him a chance since day one, and everything that he did, everything that has happened under his watch, you know, whether, you know, if it was good, you know, they didn't give him full credit. Like, for example, when they killed Osama bin Laden, everyone said, oh, well, Bush set up the trail for that to happen. Maybe, but it was Obama that, you know, pressed the button to make it happen. You know,
is there an assassinate button? I guess, I don't know. I don't know enough about politics. There probably
You know what I fucking mean, man. Jeez.
I bet there is.
Stop being a dick.
I bet there is. Well, and you make a good point there. And it's like they want to say it was George. They want to give George Bush credit. They don't want to give Obama credit. It's like, okay, those two motherfuckers did the least work in that trail, that chain of events to make that happen than anybody else. Okay, every single other person who got to that point to where Obama could even say, make the call, yes, execute, take him out. Everybody else did a shit ton more than fucking Obama did, all right? All that motherfucker did was say yes or no. That's all he had to do. And if it would have gone wrong, they would have covered up the whole thing, and he wouldn't even have to take any flack for it. So, you know, just try to give either guy any credit for it. It's just kind of silly. You know, it's people just, they're on teams. Everybody's got their team and they want to cheer for their team and they want to be the number one fan. And you know, fuck those other guys. It's us versus them, you know? And it's so divisive, and it makes for good conversation in these kind of situations, but it's a little bit tiring at times. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't.
Yeah. And another thing about Texas is that, and you know, you notice I put in quotations earlier that Texas has this reputation for being in quotations friendly. I always felt like people down there are friendly to you if you're like them. Like they don't like they're always the majority of people down there. They're going to stay in their little circle. And their little clique. They're not willing to go out and find what's different. Like, for example, when I told everyone that I was going to be moving up here to Seattle, people were like, oh, you're not going to like it. You'll come back. You know, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, 7.5 months later, you know, I still consider it the best decision I ever made. You know, and this narrow-mindedness like that, man, and, you know, and just, you know, up here, Seattle's, people up here, they're open-minded, they don't give a fuck, you know, as long as you're a good person, as long as you have a good soul, people don't care, so...
Yep, as long as you're liberal, that's all. But that's all. That's all.
As long as you're liberal. All, you know? Yes, as long as you're liberal. Oh, well, don't get me wrong. This area is not conservative free. I mean, there are conservatives that live up here, but mm-hmm. You know, they're like one out of every 100 people that you'll run into in this area. So
they're the CEOs of all the companies.
Oh, wait, Bill Gates is not a...
That's true. He's probably a liberal nerd. He probably fakes.
A rich liberal nerd.
Yeah, a very goddamn rich liberal nerd. But yeah, well, hey, you know, that's good. I'm glad you made your way out here, Shoddy.
Yeah.
But, well, hey, guys, it's been a pleasure here on our first episode. Thanks for listening to us, guys. We really appreciate it. We're gonna work on this. We're going to try to get better. We were a little rough here, but, you know, give us a little bit of time. Give us a chance, and hopefully we'll keep you guys entertained. Have some laughs. We're going to get you guys involved in the show here as soon as we can. We want people calling in. We want you getting to us on Twitter. We want all that. We want you guys. You know, this is what really makes this is going to make the show local and going to give it that vibe is all you guys out there. So we're going to keep working on this. You guys let us know what you want to talk about. Let us know what you think. Give us your ideas, good and bad. Don't troll us too much on Twitter if you don't mind. And like I said, keep listening, and hopefully we can keep you guys entertained. I'm Slim.
And I'm Shoddy. And add us on Facebook, and please follow us on Twitter. Twitter, Earful and Ear in East. I'm sorry, Earful in East City. And Facebook, you know, obviously, in Earful in the Emerald City. I'm Shoddy, and this is Slim. We're signing off. See ya.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.